want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my sister-in-law, Lovelace Howard. She was telling us yesterday a little bit about her background and how she and my brother Tom got together. They were prayed for, not only by my father, who prayed for all of his six children, but also by some of the members of the Overseas Missionary Fellowship with which Lovelace was working in Japan. So could you tell us what happened next?
Well, I had this letter from Dr. Glasser suggesting Tom and I get together, and I wrote back to him, "Fine, you write Tom. See what he says about it." He had, in fact, already talked to Tom at the University of Illinois, where Tom was working on his MA in English by this time. So Tom did write to me when I came home about Thanksgiving in 1963. We met sort of surreptitiously in Wheaton, and it was very dramatic. I hadn't seen him for almost 7 years. And I waited for him to come and call, and I walked down the stairs of my friend's apartment, and there he was. I had never thought I would see him again.
And you flew into his arms.
Not quite. No, he seemed enormous to me, though.
Well, Lovelace is very tiny, I have to tell our listeners, and my brother is, what, 6 feet?
Yes, yes. And we had a weekend of catching up on each other. And we were very different by then. I had been a missionary in Japan, and he had been to England, and was far more sophisticated than the very young man that I had parted with at Wheaton. But he was still Tommy to me, and I don't remember having to pray or question or search my heart. He was still Tom, and God was opening the way up before us. He came down again surreptitiously to Birmingham to visit over Easter, because I was still an Overseas Missionary Fellowship missionary on furlough, and this was a little undercover, though I was getting plenty of direction from Dr. Glasser. And then you will remember that we came and spent 10 wonderful days up in New Hampshire with you, my first experience of the White Mountains. It was heaven. The picnics, the walks, and then he asked me to marry him, and I said yes. Immediately. Then he went right away to Germany to study for the summer. We were engaged a year. We needed time to adjust to the idea of married life and, for me, more secular life. Tom was going to be an English teacher, and he needed to finish up his MA. And we were married at the end of that school year in 1965 and moved to New York City for him to work on his PhD.
And that was where your first child was born.
Yes.
Tell us about her.
Well, let me just say, of those 5 years in New York, he got his PhD. I never noticed, but he did do it. We had two children, and he wrote two books. It was a good 5 years. Gallaudet was born 2 years later, and I do thank God that marrying after 30, he gave us a daughter and 3 years later a son. I'll never get over the surprise and thrill of it. I, who thought I would be a single lady missionary.
And things were touch and go with that son.
With Charles. He came 2.5 months early and weighed 2.5 pounds. He was fortunately one of those preemies that had nothing wrong with him, but it was still pretty tense the first 7 weeks in the hospital.
I'll never forget the phone call when Tom called up and it said, "It looks as though we are losing this baby." And my heart just sank to my toes, and I remember I think I came down to New York
Gally.
And took Gallaudet back to my house to take care of her while you had Charles, and nobody thought he would live through the first night, did they?
But he did.
And Tom said he fit right in his hand.
Yes. He was a beautiful baby,
and
too.
He is a beautiful young man now, a student at Georgetown University. So the reason that I've asked Lovelace to come is not only to talk about her family and my dear brother, but particularly to talk about training children in the things of the Lord, raising children for his glory. And you and I have had endless conversations about the discipline of children. Just let's start from sort of square one in the spiritual training of a child.
I think I would like to start with the Bible in a child's life. Mm-hmm. I myself seem to have been born with a love for the Bible and a crying need, conscious need for God. But looking back, I think it might have to do with the fact that my father loved the Bible so, and my mother read the Bible so avidly in my childhood. When I was 6 years old, my father gave me my first hardback Scofield Reference Bible. I sat most of my childhood in Bible classes with grown-ups. I went to Bible classes for children, and I loved the Bible. I don't expect everybody to have that experience, but bringing our children up in the Bible, as little Timothy was brought up by his mother and grandmother, familiar with the Bible from early childhood, was always a plan and expectation of Tom's and mine, taken for granted as we began to raise our children. The hard part was getting started doing it. Tom, as you know, was brought up on daily prayer and Bible reading as a family. I wasn't. The love was there, but the disciplined family Bible reading together was new to me. And I laugh when I think of our beginning efforts. Probably when Gally was about 3 and Charles was an infant, and certainly during the next year, Tom thought it was time for us to begin to move from the dinner table to the sofa and read Bible stories with the children. And I thought it was a wonderful idea, but I kept forgetting. I would get up from the table and go over to the sink and tell a child what to do, completely forgetting what the plan was. It took him weeks to get me trained in the system, but I'm glad he persevered.
So you start by giving them theological concepts, or where did you start?
Reading stories with them. This was a discovery of ours, I think. As I've mentioned, I was brought up in more adult-type Bible classes, and in Sunday school, my teachers tried to distill the gospel and the doctrine for little children. What we discovered and are completely convinced about is simply reading the Bible with our children. I've found some parents are afraid to do this because they're afraid their children will ask them those horrible questions we all dread, like the one Charles came out with. Why did God tell the Israelites to bash on the head little Joe Canaanite who didn't know any better? And there's always, what do you mean, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? We're so afraid they'll ask us something that we can't answer. We're afraid we can't explain the stories to them. We found that children do not want us to stop and explain the story. Just read the story, Mommy. They don't want Mommy to stop and preach. But they do ask those questions. I'm convinced, as I've watched my children grow up, though I didn't know this when we began, that we can't avoid those questions. Little children who are being brought up in the Bible, or little children in general, are philosophers at heart, and they worry and question about evil and suffering and sin. And we can't avoid that, but we can help them by reading the Bible with them, letting them grow up in a universe that is not empty, but presided over by the God of the Scriptures.
So what do you do when they ask about Jacob and Esau?
Well, I usually try to receive their question honestly, tell them I probably don't have an answer right at that moment, and go on with the story. If I can't answer a question satisfactorily for a 3-year-old or a 6-year-old, I just try to receive it sympathetically and plow ahead.
Mm-hmm. And you don't mind admitting to the child that you can't answer it.
No.
Satisfactorily.
And I won't play games and pretend, but I don't mind telling them.
You don't say, we don't ask questions like that.
No.
Even when we think them, We don't say them.
I don't say that.
No. It's not difficult, in other words, for a young family. Maybe neither the father nor the mother has come from a Christian background. Both you and Tom came from Christian mm-hmm. backgrounds. You had been reared on the Bible yourselves. But I talk to young couples who say, well, we would love to do something like you tell us your parents did, but neither one of us knows the Bible that well, and we wouldn't know how to do a Bible study. Well, I think you've answered the question that you don't have to do a Bible study. You simply read the Bible, and that's all my father did too, as you know. I don't think our family devotions lasted more than 6 or 7 minutes, including the singing of a hymn and the saying of the Lord's Prayer after my father had read the Bible and prayed. But it can be a very simple thing.
Yes, I think it's a golden opportunity for new Christian parents. They get to read through the Bible in a Bible storybook. It goes a lot faster than trying to plow through Genesis and Isaiah and Ezekiel.
Sort of get an overview.
Yes, it's
of the
a
whole
wonderful
thing.
Opportunity.
Now, people want specifics, Loveless, and they say, well, how long should this be?
Short and sweet.
Well, what's short? 15 minutes? Five minutes?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking about an infant, a toddler, and a 6-year-old, or a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Well, but if you've got a family that includes 14, 10, 8, 6, and 3,
right.
Then what do you do?
I don't have a family of that size. We certainly started aiming with the 3-, 4-, 5-year-old, and then once they get to be 3 and 5, it wasn't too difficult. I'd aim for the middle myself. But short, a short story, a short prayer, something the children can count on and know when they're free and can go out and play ball or get to their homework.
Thanks so much, Loveless, for being with us. And if you come back tomorrow, we'll be talking more about reading the Bible to children, and I hope that you'll tell us something about how to teach children to pray.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.